Ba 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 ba.
Well, welcome everybody. I got a guest on the show, the wonderfully funny Dom LaMarca. He's a comedian and like video editor. Like, yeah. You do a bunch of stuff. What I've seen you do you also do do you shoot stuff too?
I started doing music videos a while ago, and I am really starting to try and get into doing that for work right now. And then I also record a little bit of music as well, so that's like what got me recording the videos.
Okay.
Like, I wanted to figure out how to get stuff out myself, and I'm like, I know how to do this. Like, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for coming on, dude. I've seen you around town for quite a bit. Like, you're a very funny guy, and you have a very distinct, like, way of being. Not that many people have that.
The upsplifted way. the name just came to me.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't choose it. Yeah. I appreciate that, man. I definitely enjoy the scene out here a lot. It's a big change from being in New York as well, and just I am stoked to be down here seeing what's going on. It feels like investing in like a comedy stock while it's low.
Yeah.
Like, it's like just like even like seeing like how much it's grown like the past year alone is like it's wild. And we were talking about that, I think, a little bit at some point, just like the way the scene changes, like it's
Man, it's crazy. So you mentioned New York. You grew up in New York. What part of New York did you grow up in?
Long Island.
Long Island.
Okay. West Bath. Yeah. shout out West Bath.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
What's it like growing up in Long Island?
It's pretty cool. Drugs were definitely getting like out of hand like for a while. Like if growing up in Long Island, you're gonna be friends with fentanyl dealers and someone like, and also someone that they're gonna end up killing. Like, it's like a weird combination that way. But the beach is 15 to 30 minutes away at all points.
Yeah.
I miss that about it very much so.
Yeah. Some of my favorite comedians are from Long Island, dude. So, like, Seinfeld, Dave Attell. I think Eddie Murphy's from Long Island, too. Like,
yeah. So. Tim Dillon is one of them, too. I remember, like, when I first started, everyone talking about Dillon. And I think Kevin James,
he's from there, too?
I think so. I think, like, him and, like, a handful of those people are, like, Long Island, maybe whether it's like even the Queens side, like more like boroughy or city, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What were you like in
the show too?
What were you like in high school? Because like now you seem like this cool dude that just hangs out with everybody, just friends with everybody. But I was like one of those guys that was like in the middle. Like, I wasn't a geek, but I also wasn't the popular kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was definitely, I felt like stuck in the middle in some way, but it was almost like my school was like a little like hood as well, so like I felt like stuck on like in between of that, where it's like, oh my god, like I'm like too hood for like all the athletes, but then like I'm too white for all the hood. Like, I was like well, so where do I lay in this? Like, it was like weird, like definitely. And it was very troublesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, and more bitter. Not as
this, really?
This optimistic.
You don't seem
persona.
Like a bitter kind of guy.
Yeah, it took a while to get over, but I just didn't care about anything really in a way. Like, obviously, like family and like certain things, but like I was just going through the motions, just like, eh, we're here. Like, yeah, it was weird.
What made you like be bitter? Like, I just don't see any bitter in you at all. What was that?
Just I felt like I was dealt like not the best hand in life.
Okay.
Like, yeah, and that just like definitely just made me like kind of victimize myself a little bit too long. And I think I was just sitting in that, just like, duh, like whatever, like, and kind of just stopped caring. Like, I was a decent student stuff once, and even in high school and stuff, like, I was a decent student, but I was just intentionally like kind of like not caring as well too. And it was just like, yeah. So I think really just being like younger, just the way shit was, I was like, oh, life is kind of fucked, huh? And I was just bitter for a while, and then eventually I was like, yeah, dude, but like, now I'm at the point where like I'm making it this way. Like, it's my fault. Like, I, like, it's my attitude. I'm not doing shit to try and like make something for myself or say anything. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, we gotta
switch it up.
Yeah.
How old were you when you figured that sort of stuff out?
Like fell into that mindset.
Yeah. Like for example, like you were saying, like, oh, I gotta turn it around and things like that. Like, cause it took me a while to, you don't need to have like a bad hand dealt to you to get in that mindset. I'm one of the, like, a prime example of that, right? Like I had a little bit of that too, but around like, I think it was 19 or 20, like I found like self-help stuff and then that kind of helped me. But what caused you to like turn it around?
That's like very similar, like path of like finding that self-help stuff and everything. One of the big things was I met this one kid through giving him weed for free, for very free weed, the freest of the weeds. And I like kind of knew him a little bit, and then I'd go over his house like once a week or so, and we started meditating together. He got me into like group meditating and stuff like that, and then kind of just like really, I guess, sitting with myself and just sitting with all of it, I kind of was like, like there is a lot of like subconscious underlying just pushing in my life, and just like I'm not really even here with them. That just that I don't know, becoming more present, I feel like kind of be like, all right, well, now what's the next step, like, where do we go from here? And that was like self-help and shit like that. Really,
how old were you when like you started doing that?
I would say like 18, 19 or so. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like everything like kind of like just all came at once, because like I was like, all right, started doing that. I knew I wanted to start doing comedy, and just like I started working out too. I was always a heavy kid, and I started working out. So like all this wave of like self improvement, like I want to change.
Yeah.
Kind of just all came at once, and then, yeah, it always felt intertwined in some way.
Yeah.
And then even like I definitely was like a little shady kid, like getting up to like no good and stuff like that. And I was like, I want to stop doing shady shit. I want to stop hanging out with shady people. And then I got like arrested during this like whole time period too. And like, yeah, and it was just like, I feel like life was just cut. And I'm just like, no, I want more out of life. I got to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, dude, that you, like, not everybody figures that sort of stuff out, right? Like you see them like keep falling down that spiral, and then you're like, no, hold on a minute. This,
100%, yeah, definitely. It's tough. I think like such a big part of like being like, use that too, is like learn how to set better boundaries for myself over time too. Because like seeing people like that as well, it's like I want to see anyone that I care about like go down dark path. Because like a lot of people like I knew and shit like that were always doing bad shit, but like I knew most of these kids and they weren't idiots.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like they were like inherently like evil people or anything like
that. Yeah.
So I was just kind of like, oh, it's just like they're being dumb. And I always just wanted to like be like, yo, like wake the fuck up.
Yeah, you don't
like,
need to be there.
And I overexerted myself at times. I was like, yeah.
It's one of those things that I found that it's really hard to change someone's mind if they don't really want to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a losing battle unless they get to a point where they're like, ah, I want to change that sort of stuff.
I just watched this YouTube documentary recently. It was about the Vegas tunnels and like all the people that live there. And like watching it and like seeing what he was documenting, it seems like, and like if people like aren't going to have something that like makes them change themselves, it's like really like a life-threatening situation. That's the only thing that'll give people that push in those circumstances sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. And, like, unfortunately, like, there's too many times where it's, like, they don't get to see the other side of that shit. Like, Yeah, so it's weird.
So were you, like, a sports guy, or were you, like, more of, like, a nerdy guy? Where were you on that sort of spectrum?
I'm definitely more inherently geeky, like, for sure. Without a doubt. The sport I played was tennis, so it was like, and then I did that for 1 year.
I love tennis, man. It's a fun sport.
Tennis, I got back into tennis. Tennis is great, like 100%. But yeah, I played for 1 year, and I was like, let me step away. Like I just didn't do anything at a point in time, and then but definitely more on the geeky side of like, yeah, just.
What were like the geeky sort of stuff that you would do, like video games or?
Definitely video games, just like even like costumes and stuff like yeah. that. Like I've always been like, yo, like let me dress up as these characters. Let me just do things. Just spend a lot of time on the computer as yeah. well in my basement, just playing whatever games I could. And just, yeah. yeah.
What was your poison in video games?
The GameCube.
Yeah.
For the longest time. Yeah. Dude, Super Monkey Ball. Super Monkey Ball is like one of like my all-time favorite games. And then I got into Xbox and stuff for a little bit more. But just where like I love it the most, GameCube, without
yeah.
a doubt.
Yeah. I'm a Nintendo fanboy too. So it's to me, I love the GameCube. My like big love was the N64 because that's like what I played when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And then obviously transitioned to GameCube and all that sort of stuff.
I was fortunate enough that my brother had a Nintendo 64. But then like there was a point in time where it was like, all right, that's his. This is. Yeah. do you have a Switch now? Or?
I have a Switch. Yeah. I haven't played it in a while, but it's one of those things that I have the new Zelda. Yeah, dude, I want to play it so bad, but it's just like I have not had any time.
My roommate has a Switch, and that got me back in Nintendo. It's a phenomenal console, and like I haven't played the new Zelda, but just watching him play it and like hearing him speak about like it
yeah.
is like apparently one of like the best Nintendo yeah. games ever made. But like it was a chunk of time. Like
yeah.
when he was playing that game, he was in that world for the time being, which is like. Not a bad approach, like, you know, like, it is something you love, but yeah.
Yeah, dude, especially, like, doing comedy, it's hard to, like, keep track of, like, you know, work, and then you go out, and you write, and whatever, and it's like, when do you actually play games, so it's...
I think about that a lot, like, especially watching TV, I love, like, just watching
yeah.
things, too, like, like over time, like I still like gaming, but I'm like I'm more in like the watch, and like even then I'm like I never have time with comedy. I'm like one episode a day feels like
yeah.
a blessing, and
yeah.
then I'll hear like other comics, and like maybe like it's because they're more established, and they have the day to do it. But like
yeah.
I'll hear comics talk about like oh I watch movies and this all. I'm like how the
yeah where
like, I'm
where
like, yeah 100%.
It's what do you like to watch? Like are you more of like a drama guy, or you just love comedy, or?
Comedy and horror.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was horror before anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, like, I got, like, into comedy as well. What used to love Adam Sandler, but horror and comedy,
okay.
definitely. And I'm not, like, picky, but those are my main two.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got a buddy that loves horror. I'll put you guys together, see if maybe you can, like, bond over that shit.
Yeah, 100%.
Like,
it's, like...
I'm not a horror guy because that shit scares the shit out of me. So when I go watch a horror movie, I gotta pretend. I gotta be like, well, this doesn't exist. So that's how I like live through it.
That they I definitely still like had like my issues like with horror and stuff when I was younger, like and like being like, oh, the biggest thing that did help me was like the only way I could get that through my head, like I watched like the behind the scenes of every movie.
Yeah,
after I watched it. I'm like. If I go and see how some of these effects are made, I know for a fact what I saw wasn't actually the, like,
yeah.
it'll bring me some kind of ease. But yeah, it's definitely a lot. And I think that's where I've gotten more into comedy as well, too. I still love horror, but I watched this movie Midsommar.
Oh, dude, fucking... Oh my God, that is the creepiest shit I've
yeah,
ever seen.
It like I felt it like I felt watching that movie make me feel like garbage for the next week.
Yeah,
I'm like all right, like if this is what I've been doing to myself by consuming media like this, I gotta lay back a little bit. Like, but yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, dude, that movie is oof.
That director, he. Just everything he makes is like insane. The first thing he made before anything, and I didn't realize it was him first. My boy showed me this in high school. There's a video on YouTube, the strange thing about the Johnson family.
Oh no, I'm not. You know what's funny? I saw that someone posted that on Instagram today. I'm like,
really?
Yeah, and you mentioning it now, I'm like, I'm not gonna watch it. I'll tell you right
now. was the plot in there?
No, I haven't heard of it. So what's this about?
Spoilers. What? I didn't know what it was gonna be about when it got put on the first
yeah.
time. It starts off and there's like this younger kid in his bed. And he's jerking off and stuff like that. And then his dad like accidentally comes in the room and he's like, whoa, like I'm sorry and stuff like that and leaves. Then he comes back in. He's just like, hey, just so you know, what you're doing is natural, yada, yada, stuff like that. And the kid's like, thanks, Dad. I love you. And Dad's like, love you too. Have a good night. And then he leaves and the camera pans out and you see the kid was jerking off to a picture of his dad.
Oh,
that's the first minute. And then it just follows this story with how this guy's obsession with his father just follows throughout his life into his marriage, all this stuff. It's just a half hour. And it's so insane.
Dude, that is weird.
It's okay. Really. And it feels like that director like has a way of like not even worrying about what the content is, but just what it's like, what it's going to make you feel like. I don't know how he does, like, as an artist, like, kudos to him, but also like, fuck, like, as a viewer, like, oh my God.
Oh man. Yeah. Ooh, that just gave me chills.
Man. It's insane. I'm like trying to nervous laugh through it.
So I don't typically watch that sort of stuff. Like, my buddy who I told you who loves horror and another buddy that we like did like for like a brief period of time, we did like this, like, oh, let's do like a movie club where every week somebody is going to recommend. And that's how I watch that shit, because I wouldn't have never gotten on to that, right?
That's how Midsommar crept its
Yeah. And I'm like, I think I watched it. I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done with this club thing.
That's really fair.
So was that where you're like, okay, maybe I need to jump into comedy a little bit more?
I liked comedy. Okay. As far as like you mean like stand up?
No, like comedy movies.
Or shows. That was definitely like, I was like, I want whatever I'm watching to like bring some light into my day, like, for sure. Especially like we were mentioning with having this like little time or like to watch stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm going to watch one thing, like, I want to like really enjoy it. I want to be happy watching it. Yeah. Stuff like that. I'm watching Baby Reindeer right now. It's not necessarily been having that effect, but like, for the most part,
yeah. What's like your favorite like horror movie, and what's your like favorite like comedy movie or show or whatever, like along those veins, along that vein?
Well, there's definitely, for horror, I'm gonna say probably the. I always get tied between Saw and Scream, but probably the Saw series.
Like, okay.
The first Saw movie,
yeah.
I was so excited to watch it. I'm like, it's going to be this gruesome, crazy thing. And then the fact that, like, there was an insane plot behind it, which, like, I did not expect at all. I was like, this is cool. And I got really into that series.
Yeah.
And then for comedy, I'm all over the place with that. Workaholics was always one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
But I've been going back and rewatching Nathan For You. I think
Nathan
Fielder's shit is like probably like my favorite as far as like just the most I laugh watching something. He's insane at his mind. And then for movies, dude, 21 Jump Street, I think
that's a good movie.
Man.
That's
it was
a
so
great
much
movie.
Funnier than I expected. And it's just, I think that's,
Yeah, dude, I haven't watched Nathan For You. So I'll definitely check that out. But 21 Jump Street is a very good movie. Like, I was also pleasantly surprised by it, because like, I remember the show was like super dramatic and stuff like that. So
I was not familiar with the show beforehand. I hadn't seen it, but like, I knew people who hadn't, and then I knew like Johnny Depp being in it. It was like, oh my God, like he's But no, it was solid. And I think also too, like, Channing Tatum was very dramatic before that, so it's like you see he was gonna be in it and you're like, what is this gonna, and then he's just,
it's
like
kills it, he fucking crushes it.
And
I will say I think I've seen Saw the first one and then like the sixth or seventh one. I didn't like any of the other ones, but the first one was really good, that especially like the end, that kind of like broke my everything. So
100%. And I think like that series, like, as much as I love it, like, I always love to trash on people that get excited when a new Fast movie comes out, and then I realize I do the same thing with the Saw series. And it's like, they're not all great. There's some that, but like throughout the series, there's still been like some solid like ones where it's like, oh, like the plot twist is crazy. But like, now I feel like there's a thing where it's like, M. Night Shyamalan kind of has this effect too, where it's like, when you know something's supposed to Mm-hmm. You're kind of looking for it the whole time.
Yeah.
That, like, if you could figure it out, that kind of takes away from it. Like,
yeah.
Too, where it's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I completely, like, because it takes the magic away, right? So
yeah,
you're completely
yeah.
focused on the wrong thing. What I was going to say was, I got distracted by Shyamalan. Sorry, man.
I'm sorry. I'm like,
no, no,
I'm
you're,
like
you're
10
good,
topics
dude. No, you're good. You're,
like,
good.
Yeah.
You're good, dude. So, when, how old are you, by the way?
24.
24. Oh, you, yeah. You're a young buck, man. So you graduated. What did you do after graduating high school?
Graduating high school, I worked. I was just working a lot, so
yeah.
I just kept working. And then I didn't go the first semester I could after, but I went to school that the next semester. And then that, like, whole time I was there, I was like, all right, like, giving it a whirl and stuff like that, seeing how it was.
Yeah.
And went back another semester. But, like, I knew I wanted to do comedy at this point, too. Like,
yeah.
I clicked near the end of the first semester. Mm-hmm. So I was just really just in that, just working.
Yeah.
Just, like, chilling, smoking.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, is there, like, a, I know we talked about this before, but, like, what's the scene like in Long Island?
The scene in Long Island's a lot of fun. It's,
yeah?
It's, yeah, it's actually, like, for New York and, like, what the majority of New York is, it's a little more conservative, mm-hmm. too, like, kind of, like, similar vibes out here.
Yeah.
And there's a few local clubs. If you're in them, you're in them, which is, like, good for the people that are. They do present some opportunity on comics, and they have a room that we could produce have, which is how, but
mm-hmm.
it was a lot of fun, but I feel like you can only, there was definitely, like, a cap for, like, how
yeah.
much you could grow as a comic in a
yeah.
place like that as well, too.
So, we also talked, I'm sorry to be repetitive about this, but we also talked about, like, you going to the city and stuff like that. How often would you go to the city to do comedy?
Once I realized that was, like, the move to be making, during the pandemic, almost every day, just, like,
yeah.
But then after that, like, about 3 to 4 times a week, I would just make way out.
Really? Okay.
Just kind of, yeah, see what was going on. Like,
yeah. You would do that drive, like, that many times a week?
Yeah, yeah. It
Damn.
Was, yeah. I didn't mind the drive. To me, it felt like at a point, it felt like going to the gym, where it's like the idea of doing the drive was always worse than the drive
yeah.
actually was.
Yeah.
And then I got, like, a lot of podcasts listening to and done stuff like that. But also, like, I'm just like, the financial toll of it was definitely, like, the
yeah.
biggest thing, where it's like, looking back, where I'm like, oh my God, I was really just every day just loading up the tank, going out there, running around that expensive ass city. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
What did
yeah.
you ever, like, consider doing the train or stuff like that, or was it just easier to drive?
I did. I felt it was easier in the way of, like, if I wanted to end up going somewhere else or bounce around spot to spot, like, I could do that. But I just knew if I took the train, it would more than likely always end up being a later night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
so you're, like, stuck
to have
with
my
the
own
schedule
car,
and
have
stuff.
My stuff. Have
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What was it? What's the difference between, like, the New York scene and the Austin scene? Like, is there, like, a big difference? I mean, I've never been to New York to do comedy, but to me, it's still, like, the Mecca. So,
I would definitely, like, give, like, that, I would give that place, like, its credit for being that. Like, it really, just, like, the level of, like, talent that, like, lives inside of there,
mm-hmm.
and just how much opportunity there is and stuff. See, but One of the crazy things about, like, the New York scene is, like, and, like, this is, seems like this a little bit, but also there's Kill Tony, which is, like, most of us are there,
mm-hmm.
and everything does seem to be in the one area, is, like, breaking, like, a part of the New York scene. Like, it's multiple scenes in one. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, there's little, this, these people work here in Brooklyn, these people work here in New York, these people work here in New York, and then there is kind of more of, like, I feel like out here, it's like, okay, you know where the places are, you know where to go. Out there, it's kind of like, all right, like, what do you really want to try and make out of it? Because you're going to have to pick which places to
okay.
go and stuff like that. Like, it's not just, like, these are the places. Like, there obviously is, like, the Cellar, the Stand's doing great, and, like, people do want to work up certain clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's also, like, you need to pick an area to,
yeah.
that you're going to really try and aim
yeah.
to do that in.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Just the we have some, like, great comics that have, like, made way over here and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, but also just the level of talent out there on the pros is like, it's crazy. Like, it feels like a whole different thing. Like,
it's a whole other level, I think, man. Like, I think the scene here is getting really big, but the names you see out there are like, man, like, there's so many heavy hitters, and some of these guys, like, you see, like, I don't know if you know this, like, this guy Mike Racine, or Racine, however you say his last name, he's fucking hilarious, but he's just like trying to build his audience right now. He still doesn't have that many followers or anything like that. And I think, like, man, a guy this good is like basically unknown to so many people. I'm like,
That's one big difference about the two scenes too, is that this scene is super hopeful and everyone sees opportunity, which I love, but out there people aren't as hopeful, and that's a part of the reason why, because you see that someone who could just literally grab any room like this is still like be teetering on like a level that we're at. Like, like, obviously Mike's like himself established stuff, but also it's like there's comics that aren't even half as talented as him that have built like a similar following online.
Sure.
It's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, that's it, not equal, it, dude. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think seeing that actually definitely takes the hope away that is out here. Like,
It's like, I feel like the concentration of talent over there is just like, I don't know, man. It's just like a whole fist, and then in that fist, you got like a million people that are like fucking amazing, all of them. So it's pretty incredible, and the people here are amazing too. It's just I don't know, man. It is. This is definitely like a budding scene. I feel like it's just like starting to grow as because of like this boom that we're in or something.
Yeah, 100%. And it is like, I think it's good like for New York comics to come down here, just as good as it would be for them, because it's like at the end of the day, like, I haven't figured this comedy shit. I'm still like working on doing so very much, but I'm definitely like under the belief that like no place is the same. Like, I've traveled enough before even doing comedy to know that people are different
places.
So you need to like go around so you could learn what that even is. Like,
yeah.
What it, like, cause it's like, you have to be adaptable to that as a
comic. Yeah, man.
100%. Like, yeah.
It's crazy. Cause like I've traveled like mostly around the country, and just like going to different, like, for example, I'll give you an example. When I moved here from Utah, and then coming from Utah to here was like not culture shock, but like the comedy that was good in Utah, at least my comedy, did not translate that well. So I'm like, okay, I gotta figure this out now. So
100%. I felt the same way when I got out here, where I was like, I had stuff, and then I just got to the point where I'm like.
Like, there's people, like, I have a buddy who's like, I think he's just funny anywhere, but in terms of me, like, I gotta figure that switch out just to be able to turn it on or something like that. And then like, it's like an adjustment, because I've gone all like a few different states just to do stuff, and I started in LA, and LA is like a big scene as well. It's just very different. It's like, I feel like New York is very like comedy centric. Like, the people that are there because they want to do stand up, and the people in LA, not all of them, but a lot of them are like, we have a dog wrestling match here on the side.
What do you say?
But a lot of them, they want to have stand up on their resume, right? So like, you don't know who wants to do comedy for the sake of doing comedy, and you don't know who just wants to the squeaky toy who wants to
He's
do
like Tokyo Shit.
So it's interesting to like navigate around that, you know. So
I think there's a little bit of that like everywhere too, but it's also like, that's where it's just like the degrees people and like perspectives on, because it's like we're all doing the same thing, but it feels like everyone looks at it a different way, and
yeah,
it's like a different blueprint for it, because like in New York, like, there was people that were out there and stuff, and they were definitely like Ryan, they just wanted to get good at comedy too, but some people also just wanted to just get on stages and just fucking just kick it and just like be in like the hecticness and like the drugs and all that too.
Yeah,
so it's like
it's interesting, man. I I didn't know you were big into yoga until I saw like your full logo for your upspliffs and stuff, dude. When did you get into yoga?
During the pandemic.
Yeah?
Yeah. The first time I ever did like a full yoga session, actually, my friend's girlfriend was a yoga instructor and she like guided us in my backyard. We just got yoga mats and stuff.
Okay.
And I was like, this is I was getting into the meditating and I thought it was so great. And I'm like, I feel amazing. And also like, this is like the body awareness side of like the,
yeah,
like getting like more in tune with myself, I guess. Cause I felt like that was the mind and I'm like, this is sick. Like, yeah.
So how often do you do it?
Dude, I was slacking off for the longest time, honestly, in my move, and I just recently started doing it again this past week, and so far it's been every day.
Every day? Yeah, okay, yeah. That's pretty good.
Not like a crazy, like, deep course or anything, but at least, like, 15 minutes. I got
that's great. That's great, man. Like, yeah. Do you prefer going to, like, somewhere to do it, or you, like, just prefer to do it at home?
I like the being guided through it and like, yeah, with like a group, but also like I haven't like went and done anything like large. Like I see gyms and stuff that offer and everything, and like doing it by myself for the most part. And even like I guess like in my backyard, like even like when we went to the studio, it was like a small group in that more intimate setting. I wouldn't want to be in something like large or anything like that, like either. So it's like
because I'm more of like a I'll do it at home sort of guy. I've done it in groups before, and it's cool to see, like, oh, people are at different levels and things like that. And it's also nice having, like, the actual person, like, guide you, like, live, right? That's pretty cool. And then sometimes they'll correct you and stuff like that, because, like, when you do it at home, like you have a mirror maybe or something like that, or like, the TV's reflection. I don't know, man. So, like, you got to really know what you're doing, because you can hurt yourself and whatnot, but...
I think that's like why I prefer the guide too, because like it feels like my back is already like so weird and crazy, and like that I like am like I don't want to fuck anything up whatsoever, and like there is that like little bit of fear where doing it myself where I'm like, I've seen how I live, I can easily do this wrong, like I am,
That's fun, man. I would have never expected you to be like a yoga dude, so that was like pretty fun to like just be like, oh man, this guy's into yoga, that's cool. So when did you start the upspliff, the whole thing? So could you describe what it is for people listening or watching? Just
upspliffed, it's an adverb. No. Upspliffed, it's the social media handle I go by, and like I make merch with it and basically just put anything I do under that title. And really I did just start it as like also like kind of like with the idea of like being upslifted, like make improvements, do these things, and kind of like I like did feel like very like convicted and like I want to share this stuff, and I was just putting everything under it. But I think it really started during the pandemic,
okay,
because I started producing shows at that time. And also I wish I still did this, but I was doing Zoom meets weekly, and I was doing the upslifted writing workshops, upslifted guided meditations. I was guided meditation for people, so it was just upslifted everything.
That's pretty cool, man. So it seems like the were you during the pandemic, before that, were you doing these things, or was that like the catalyst that got you into all of it?
I think that was definitely like a really big catalyst for it. Also, like right before the pandemic, my mom passed away as well.
Okay.
That was like another catalyst. Sorry to hear that, buddy. Well. Thank you. And that kind of just being there, sitting with that, already like trying to just learn how to sit with myself and like get that meditation, like really see that, it all just ignited this fire of like, all right, like we here, we learning things, and we're gonna get better. And like I wish I had the habits the way I guess the time I had during the pandemic, so that's also what it really was to some extent too. But like, that just having that time, I was just like, I'm going to do some shit for me.
Yeah, man.
And others as well. Like once I like learned it, I wanted to share it. That's where the workshops and stuff go. And I still would love to do that. And like, honestly, like I would love to like preach that more with Upslifted, but also it is like that preachy shit where it's like, the older I'm getting to, the more I'm like, all right, I don't got to be as chaotic. Like, everyone, like, yeah. check this shit out. I don't yeah. want to come off that way either, but, like, yeah. I really do. I'm like, yo, there's so many tools out here for us to just, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's pretty cool, dude. So, it's funny, you and I have, like, a similar trajectory in there in the sense of, like, the pandemic. Like, I first started producing shows during the pandemic, and my mom actually passed away right before the pandemic as well. Yep. So, but like I don't have like that.
Oh man, that's wild.
Yeah, but I don't have like the like I didn't start like I guess I started a company or whatever. But it's just the parallels I guess are very similar in some ways.
Even I'm like thinking like right now, even like the high school experience.
Yeah, man.
As well. Yeah,
and I would never.
The future's looking good for you guys. This place is.
Oh man. So I it's interesting to me, right? Because like from like the surface, you would think you and I have like nothing in common, right? But then we talk, and then you're like, oh my god, like this and that, we yeah. have this in common and things like that and that. So it's just like, to me it's interesting because you never know anything until you actually talk to a person, right? Because like I always thought you were hilarious. That was like the first thing I knew. Like to me that's like the master like connector, right? Like if you're funny, I'm gonna like you automatically. You might be an asshole or whatever, but you're still funny, right? Not that you're
like,
an asshole.
No, but like that is like such a thing in like this where it's like and I've heard other comics with like bits on this in the past too, of like the idea of like how does talent manage that way morals? Like, you know, like it's crazy. Like where it's like there's like so many comics around seeing, I'm like, they're hilarious. Like I would love to be their friend. And they're just not
yeah.
like friendly, disrespectful people. They clearly want nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm still just like, oh, you're amazing. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh. But so did you ever like have the inclination towards comedy?
What do you mean?
Like now I am talking about stand up. Like did you ever like feel like you wanted to do comedy before, or like was it like a slow burn of like things happening?
Slow burn. I always wanted to do entertainment. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be an actor and stuff. Like I was like, I loved all that. I wanted to like act in like comedy movies.
Yeah.
And then I never did drama club because I was too busy being bitter when I was in high school. And by the time I graduated, I didn't do it. And then I kind of more so like I didn't watch too much of it, and then it just clicked one day where I'm like, I think I could do it though. Like
yeah.
I feel like that's like an avenue into entertainment that's left for me at this yeah. point. Like
yeah.
I just felt like it made sense, and I was like, let's go see what's up with comedy. I was also tripping sack on mushrooms when I came to that conclusion
yeah.
as well. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What how old were you when you first like did it?
I think 19.
19? Oh,
yeah,
dude, you started 19. Pretty young.
Yeah.
Like, I started when I was 26, and I've had, like, an on-and-off relationship with it. I'm 37 if I don't look...
Word.
I look pretty old, I know. But it's...
I look your age as well. Like that. It's tough. It's not... Yeah.
But... Like, I know when I started, I'm like, oh, dude, I'm so old or whatever. And then progress or whatever, time goes by. But you have you been consistent with it since you started? Or how's the journey gone along for you?
Pretty much. I think it was, like, definitely, like, a slow ball roll in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Where it's, like, I went and I did one mic and did another. And then I didn't really do it for a while.
Yeah.
And then something clicked in my head where I'm like, oh, I got to go to more mics. I was, like. The beginning of the new year, I was like, my New Year's resolution, I'm going to hit 10 mics by May, and then I just started getting into it, and then, like, May came, and I flew past that number, and I'm like,
yeah.
we're in it. Like,
nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was wild.
That's, were you going to say something else?
That, the pandemic was, like, definitely, like, the big, like, stop for a little while as well.
Yeah.
So, which was good, because, like,
yeah.
there clearly was other stuff that
yeah.
I, like, yeah, that slowed down, and then it came back out, and I'm like, when I started spending like mostly like every day, I think I was doing it more like a few times a week. And then that was like, I'm like, all right, like I really this is what I want to do with my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's another similarity. So I first wanted to just be in entertainment. I know I wanted to be in like comedy movies or comedy shows or whatever.
Yeah.
Because Seinfeld's like one of my, well, it's my favorite show, but like I think that was like a big influence on me in like wanting to do something. Like I just wanted to be involved, but that was like the first, my first, like anything related to stand up was that. Like the first thing this is stand up. I didn't even know it existed, but time went on and then people just tell me, hey, you should do stand up. And that's how I got it. I was always like deathly afraid of it. And then they told me about it. I'm like, I mean, I've heard it more than once. I guess I should try it. So that's how I got into it. Yeah. And I feel like people must have told you about it too, like multiple times. I'm guessing
it wasn't even that like people told me I should do stand up. It was my yearbook.
Yeah,
I went and read my high school yearbook, and there was like. Very simple, like, oh, like, have a great summer and stuff like that. But also, like, a good amount of, like, people that, like, not even people I was, like, talking to after high school or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they were like, you're funny and stuff like that. And I was, like, seeing that and, like, losing, like, the egocentrism, I guess, of thinking every person the same. I'm like, wait, they think I'm funny. Like, this might not be what everyone's yearbook looks like.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I want to get entertainment, this is what I basically spent the which is learn how to be a dickhead and joke around all the time. And like, I'm like, well, let's give it a try. Like, but yeah, no one specifically was like, yo, comedy. I wish, honestly, that like would have been cool, but yeah,
but it's cool. Like I find it even better that you found out about it like yourself, you know, like because someone had to like, oops, sorry about that. Someone had to like basically kick me in the balls and be like, hey, like you gotta do this, and then I wouldn't have gotten in there.
That's like completely like fair though. Like you were like even mentioning where it's like the idea of like getting up and doing it, like what the hell. Like my first time I signed up, it was like a bringer show, but it was a mic, so I didn't know it was a bringer show at the time, and I had to tell people about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, as soon as I sign up, I'm gonna tell as many people as I can about it, because I'm too prideful to not do it if everyone.
Yeah.
I was so scared. But I'm like, I need to force myself into this in a way where it's the first time I think, I don't know if it's true, but I would love to believe that's going to be the scariest set any comic has
in their
entire career, no matter what. I threw up a bunch before. like 8 Mile, it went out right. But yeah.
Yeah. So. Another similarity, like I also had like the same, like I did it the first time and then like months passed and then I did it again and then like maybe like weeks passed and then I did it again. So it was like a slow burn and then eventually it was like, oh, I got some consistency in there. Throughout the whole process, like what's the thing that stood out to you the most?
Like about the scene
and anything that just pops up to your head, like about the whole process.
Is that no matter how good you think you're getting, 6 months down the line, you're gonna be like, "Boy, was I wrong!" and that's like been the most like I feel like consistent part is like really just. You keep doing it, you tweak little things, but just that, like, yeah, you're never where you want to be, and it's that part I think comes to mind more than anything. It's just you just gotta love it enough to keep doing it. On stage it is, the performance of it is, but overall the journey of comedy is not an instantly gratifying journey.
Yeah, it's very challenging.
So 100%. Like, and you just got to truck through that, really. Yeah. My biggest takeaway is that the Dunning-Kroger effect is very, very.
So, for people listening, what's the Dunning-Kroger effect? And actually, for me too, I don't even really know what it is.
It's this thing where, and I guess it's the idea of like where it's like getting better and then being like, ah, oh, like it's this scale, and it like starts off, I'm like trying to do it for the camera too, but like starts off at the top over mm-hmm. here, and then it goes like this and droops down, and then it comes back up, but it never goes as high as it is. And this side is confidence.
Yeah.
And the bottom side is competence.
Okay.
So it's like you have like a fuck ton of confidence, like the less you know about thing, and then the more you learn about, the more you lose confidence. Enter what is referred to as like this valley of despair.
Yeah.
But then you eventually you come out of it, and then you finally like have like the confidence and competence, and it's just the goal of like that shit is not an instant thing. And that's everything in life. But I've always like thought about the application of comedy since a homie like and I used to talk about it. And yeah.
Okay. I've definitely been through that.
Yeah.
I think I've heard about that too. It's just I don't know it by the name, but like I think people mention it like often. You have a I talk about hair a lot because I don't have any. You have a wonderful head of hair, dude. How long have you been like growing it out?
We should chop up all the times I said this during the episode, but since the pandemic, I was sitting there at home and like I always wanted long hair, and I was like, oh my god, I've really been giving people money for haircuts all this time.
Yeah,
I
started
growing it out, and then I was like this. It made more sense. I was like, I can't smoke this much weed and not have the long hair. Like, we're becoming who we're supposed to be. So about 4 years now. With two haircuts.
Two haircuts? That's it? Yeah, okay, wow, dude. Do you cut your own hair or do you actually go to get it cut?
I don't go to get it cut. Well, I did go get cut from a friend one time. And then other than that, I got it cut in my brother's backyard. Like,
okay.
I just want someone like I know doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, duh. If I go to the barber and they're like, take more off than I expected, or like they do some crazy, I'll be devastated.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you can be as super specific and then tell them, look, I want this and this and that, and then they just mess it up. And I'm like, now I got to live with this haircut for God knows how long now.
Yeah.
You mentioned you have a brother. How many siblings do you have?
I have three siblings.
Three siblings?
Yeah.
All brothers or you have sisters as well?
I have two sisters and a brother. And then actually two stepsisters and a stepbrother as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you the youngest guy?
I'm close to it.
Okay.
My sister's the youngest, but like a lot of my family, like cousins, mm-hmm. like siblings, stuff like that, are like in their mid to late 30s at this point, if not even 40s.
Okay.
We were always the babies of the family, like as far as like that went, but my sister is younger than me.
Okay. Yeah. So I have a brother and two sisters as well. So I don't have a step family, but dude, that's crazy, man. I'm the youngest one though. Like that my word. Sisters are the oldest ones.
That is wild. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Even like you mentioned that before where it's like the common things like you wouldn't expect to have. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I can't wait to tell the neighbors. Like, don't worry, guys. It makes sense. You think we can't kick it? You think we can't fucking buy? We have so much.
Oh, man. See, I would have never guessed all of that, man. That's crazy. So what was that?
I was going to say, did you like always live together like with your family? And stuff
We lived together until my oldest sister, she got married when she was 24 and I was 13. So,
word.
So yeah, you said your oldest sibling is like in their 30s and you're 24. So what's the age gap?
About the same.
Okay.
Similar. So I think between like my brother right now. About 14 years or so.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's very similar. My sister's 10 years older than I have the other sister. She's 9 years older. And my brother's 5 years older than I am. And, yeah, we always, like, did everything. Well, not do everything together, but we lived together for a while until my sister got married. Then my other sister got married, like, 5 or 6 years after that.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
No, that's wild. That is part of the reason I asked, too, is because, like, with my brother being older and everything, like, we lived together for a while. But then when you have siblings that are older, it's like,
yeah,
you're, like, still in middle school.
And yeah. Then like, and all right. Like, see like, you later.
Flying up and soaring their wings. It's yeah. like, oh, shit. yeah.
Yeah, because you're like used to just doing everything together, and then that's when you realize, oh, stuff just changes like that, man.
Yeah, yeah, very much so, very much so. And then it's like also like too, and then it's like, what is my plan of attack to get at? Like, I need one of those, like shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. when you play tennis, what got you into tennis?
I don't even know, honestly. It was just one of the only sports that I seemed drawn to. It could have been that my friends wanted to play as mm-hmm. well, but, like, it was just one of the few sports yeah. that I was like, yo, this is sick. Like,
yeah.
I also think a part of it was, like, the idea, like, I didn't realize at the time, but I appreciate this so much about now that probably was a bit of a factor of time. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm not a team player and am incapable of it, but I love that it's
yeah.
not necessarily a team thing either.
Yeah.
Like you're out there, like, you fuck up,
yeah.
you win. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, pretty, like,
yeah. It's all, like, it's cut and dry, like, it's, like, you did it or you didn't.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah.
Which is very similar to stand-up, too.
yeah. No, for real. And oh. I was definitely, like I was saying, like, more, like, into the geek. So I ran through a couple sports when I was mm-hmm. like little league ages and everything,
yeah.
but like nothing ever was like, I love this.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then tennis I loved, but also I was like, oh man, like then eighth grade came, ninth grade came, I didn't do drama class. And I was like, oh man, everyone's going to think if I do this stuff, they're going to be like, what is this guy doing? And I was just like, I yeah. can't be seen on the tennis. I was literally when it came, I was like, I love this shit, but I can't,
be seen on the tennis team right now. Oh man, because tennis is one of those sports that people will make fun of it if it's like the wrong crowd, air quotes, like they're gonna make fun of you forever.
100%. Yeah 100%. It felt like we even had like one or two people on the tennis team that were like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, did you guys come here just to be like fucking?
They're on the team just to make fun of you.
yeah.
Oh man, that's fun. Oh,
yeah, so just tell me I get no bitches. Like,
that's funny. Like, because I was gonna ask you, like, and then you brought it up on your own, like. Dude, I had to get out of there. I can't be seen on the tennis
yeah,
court.
Yeah, which I guess that's like, I mean, not every kid. Like, I wish I had more self-confidence, I guess,
yeah.
at the time, because I really was. But, like, yeah, I was just, like, in hindsight, whenever I think of stuff like that, I'm like, dude, I wish I was just, like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
it doesn't matter, but yeah. Yeah.
And I think you said, did you start getting back into tennis again? Or?
I did.
Yeah.
All this free time to do all the things that
yeah man
like who would have thought but yeah me and my boy just played like every day.
Oh hell yeah, dude.
People back into it. I've played a handful of times out here at my apartment complex. There's just a tennis court.
Oh nice.
Right outside of
nice.
My balcony. I was like, the day has come, I have a tennis court in my backyard, which is like something I wanted at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
Was that the reason you picked the apartment complex, or that just happened?
No clue.
Really?
I had no clue.
That's
yeah.
awesome, man.
Dude, it felt like universally aligned. The apartment complex was the number on our thing was my old area code. That's
yeah.
our building.
Really?
Number. And then like there's a tennis court right out back. I'm like, this is sick. Like, yeah.
Oh man, that's
really
awesome.
Just, yeah.
Okay, that's like a very very cool thing, like just like, oh man, just things lining up.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like weird too, because like I was like all right, like this isn't how I picture my head, but like this is here so much sooner than I expected. Like in my head I would like do meditation visualizations, like, oh, we gotta work hard and get everything successful, one day we'll have a tennis court. Now
yeah.
like a year later I have a tennis court right here.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Just very appreciative
that's
of like
awesome,
to be
man.
In that space. I'm like, yeah.
So did before Austin, did you live anywhere else other than New York, or you just No. New York straight to here. So, and yeah, you jumped here like without knowing anything, right?
I'd been to like other certain states like Alabama and like Mississippi, and I was like, it'll be like that, but never been to Texas. And we got here and we're like, it was not like any of that. Like, no. But yeah, just dove into it. We're like, let's go.
Yeah,
it's way too far and we're way too broke. Just go check this out and scope out the place before.
Yeah. Hey man, that's what I've done multiple times. But just like, I came here, I had no idea. I just had the feeling that I needed to come here, and that's what I did.
No, that even LA and Utah, that's like a good size gap between those two.
Yeah,
as well.
Like, yeah. Like I went to LA without knowing anything. I just felt like that's where I gotta go. Utah had like a bit of like okay, I know what I'm getting into, because my brother-in-law, he lives there. So he got my wife a job where we got like free housing and stuff like that. I'm like, oh man, I actually got to consider this now. So, cause I was like, I mean, it's fun to go there, but I would not have thought, cause I wanted to do comedy. So I'm like, I'm in LA. It's a good spot to do it.
Were you near Salt Lake City?
No, I was like in the south of Utah. Okay, so right. It was like 4 hours away. So it's not like super far, but it's still, you know, you got a plan to go there though.
100%. I'd been out there once in the Salt Lake City area, and I saw there was like a comedy club. At,
yeah.
Like, this little like mall strip.
Yeah. Plant. Yeah.
That actually looks like a really cool fucking club.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's Wise Guys. They say it's really cool. It's a cool club. I've never been to Wise Guys. Actually, I almost went. I had to go there for work like a few weeks ago, and I signed up for the open mic. And then it turns out the day that the open mic was the day that I was leaving. So I'm like, sorry guys, I gotta cancel. So,
yeah.
But they say that the actual like Salt Lake scene is pretty cool. Like there's like 5 mics a week or something like that. So you can.
Yeah.
Develop there.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's like what Long Island was like. Like you could like hit a mic every night if you want to, but a mic.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Yeah. But just to even have that is great, because one of the last times I was in South Carolina, I went to go find their like social media for comedy and stuff like that, and it was like, we have like one mic every 3 months.
Oh no.
And, like, yeah, and I found out the one club they have down there is Dunzo now.
So oh
like,
shit.
It's like, yeah, there's places where you don't have access to it. Did you have decent access being
Southern Utah? There was nothing, dude. That was like,
right? Yeah,
there was absolutely nothing. So I was like, oh, how hard is it to build a comedy scene? Turns out pretty hard, man. There was like one show happening like every other month or something like that, but you know, you need like mics just to develop shit. At least,
is that where you were throwing your show when you did it? Were you like throwing your show so you had the space like to
I started a mic, and I wanted to do it every day so I could at least get a mic a day or something like that, and nobody wanted to do that. So
I can't imagine having to recruit people into comedy.
It was hard, man. It was a lot of times where like you'd go to a place and nobody shows up. So eventually like I did like 2 mics a week, and then that was good enough. And then there another guy started another mic, so I was like, okay, there's 3 mics a week at some point, and then I had a showcase once a month, and then he had a showcase once a month. So for the pandemic, it was not bad stage time, because there were a lot of places where like there was none. So,
and people were looking for stuff to do. Could Utah get away with a good amount during the pandemic? Because actually, the reason I was in Utah, there was a music festival. They were one of the first places to throw a festival after the coming out of the pandemic. And I'm like, if this is where I have to go.
Yeah.
To see live music, to see all these rappers. I love them. I'm going.
This is where I'm going.
Were they like,
dude, they did not give a shit.
They did not give a shit. Word. That's crazy.
So, like, it was March when the pandemic hit. And then around May, everybody's like, all right, we're done with this. And they just opened up everything. And it was like, nobody gave a crap. And like, people were like, not wearing masks and stuff like that. I'm like,
damn.
If people here don't care about it, I'm not going to care about it either. So,
no, that's wild.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Yeah, definitely.
It was interesting because, like, we moved out of LA right before the pandemic, like October 2019. So pandemic hits, and then it was because LA was like one of the worst places during the pandemic. Right. You couldn't do anything.
That's brought so many things down here. Apparently, I could only imagine how bad it was.
So that was like happenstance, I guess, because it was pretty cool to be able to like not have to worry about that sort of stuff, because it was also like a very small town too. Like the town I lived in was like 5,000 people, and then the bigger town that was closer was like 100,000 people, so not that many people live in the area. Like Salt Lake, I think it's like 1 million people or something like that, but they were like 4 hours away, so that was a little different. Was the experience in Long Island similar?
Yeah, definitely. Like, Long Island is a pretty populated place, though. Like, even the town like I grew up in, like the population was definitely up there. There was a good amount, but in like scale to like going out to the city, it felt the same.
Okay, that's pretty interesting, man. So, how are you liking it so far, being here in Austin?
A lot, definitely. I like that there's taco trucks and like just really like just the comedy, like more than anything. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure I still like it down here and be having a good time without the comedy, mm-hmm. but like I don't know if I love it as much as I do. Like,
yeah,
really, like it feels like the perfect place to be right now. And then also too, just even outside of comedy, people are like, yo, Austin's the happening place, and it does seem like it's just growing into like something. So I'm like, yeah, seems like I made the right decision.
Yeah,
and
man.
That's like all I could ask for is the comfort of that, like really, yeah. And just, yeah, having a place to work.
I have the same feeling, because like I mainly came here for comedy, because like the comedy's budding, and I wanted to be at a place where it's like not, I feel like this is like a comedy scene. Like music's now secondary here for some reason, which is crazy, right? Because that's what this town was known for.
Yeah.
And also, like, the stuff around it is really cool. Like, the food's great and all that sort of stuff. So I like it for that. And what's interesting is my family would visit me and stuff like that. But the moment I moved here, like, people, like, my cousins and everybody, like, they would come visit me all the time now. I'm like, where are you guys in the other places? Like,
so that's so funny. My aunt lives in Oklahoma, man, mm-hmm. and I want to go see her. And my dad's always said he wanted to go see her. And he was just talking to me like, I'm going to come out and see you in Texas. And I was like, are you also going to go up to Oklahoma? Your sister, dude. Like, it is like, yeah. Yeah, he's like, I wonder what's going on.
Like, crazy. Oh,
but,
man.
Yeah. But it definitely is a place people are talking about, want to see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a happening place. A lot of stuff's going on here. So, but dude, I want to thank you for coming out here. I appreciate you coming out here. Is there anything that you want to plug, dude? Like anything you at all?
Just go follow Up Spliffin on Instagram. Music video prices starting at 200. My portfolio can be sent to you. And yeah, other than that, go to one of house shows.
So how do you spell Up Spliffin?
UPS, big postal service guy. UPSLIFFTED. It's the word uplifted with spliff in it, because I love smoking spliffs. That's, yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. All right, man. Thank you for coming on, dude. I really appreciate it. Ba 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 ba